For our message this evening, we have Brother Todd Beeman coming to open the Word. Brother Todd is serving in Chipata, Zambia, and they have served in Zambia for a term now, 4 years. They're serving with Gospel Fellowship Association Mission, and it's a pleasure. I'd tell some stories, but let me just end there. It's a pleasure. Come open the Word.
Thank you, Brother Brian. It was a privilege to get to hear his family sing. They're one of our favorite missionary families. So Brian's been a good friend for some time, and it's just a joy to be back among you. Tonight I want to share with you a message, but along with that message, I'm going to give you a little history lesson. I hope you'll forgive me for that. But I love to read history biographies and such, and one of the reasons why I do that is that real people's real stories help prepare me for things that may come in my life. And so certainly I hold the Bible very dear and the most dear book, but I also love reading other stories and seeing what other men have gone through, because sometimes we go through events that when they come, we can look back at what others have gone through and say, you know what, if they did it and they made it through, I can do the same thing. At the turn of the 20th century, men were seeking out the last frontiers, and Antarctica was the target for many. There was a race for the South Pole and North Pole, and many failed or fated expeditions. This was said of Sir Ernest Shackleton: "For scientific leadership, give me Scott. For swift and efficient travel, Amundsen. But when you're in a hopeless situation, when there seems no way out, get down on your knees and pray for Shackleton." The book Shackleton's Way gives much insight about Shackleton and what made him great. Shackleton set out at age 40 on a voyage to make what he considered the last great expedition left on Earth, an 1,800-mile crossing of the Antarctic on foot. The expedition ship, named the Endurance after his family motto, "By Endurance We Conquer," set sail in August 1914 at the dawn of World War I and made its way to the Antarctic Circle, where it plowed through 1,000 miles of ice-encrusted waters just one day's sail from its destination on the Antarctic coast. The ship got stuck in the polar ice. The men were stranded on an ice floe more than 1,200 miles from the farthest outposts of civilization. Whenever it seemed the situation couldn't possibly get worse, it did. The pack ice precariously dragged the ship north for 10 months. Then the Endurance was crushed, and they watched in horror as their ship went down to the bottom of the sea. No one outside of the crew that was on that ship knew anything had happened to them. All they had to rely on were three lifeboats salvaged from the ship, and Shackleton allowed each man to carry only a few items necessary for survival. Famed mountaineer Sir Edmund Hillary said this: "Danger is one thing, but danger plus extreme discomfort for long periods is quite another. Most people can put up with a bit of danger. It adds something to the challenge. But no one likes discomfort." Sir Ernest Shackleton once wrote to his wife Emily, "I love the fight, and when things are easy, I hate it." He had his wish on this journey, and it would be the benchmark for which extreme situations thereafter would be judged. At some point, you might find yourself in a dire circumstance regarding your spiritual life. The Apostle Paul shows us how to cope with that in Philippians chapter 3. Why don't you go ahead and turn there? Philippians chapter 3, and we'll start reading in verse 7. Philippians 3, verse 7 through 14. "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." And then in verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity given us to meet together this week. We thank You for the emphasis that has been set on missions. I pray that we would be ambassadors for You. We'll thank You for what's accomplished here this evening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, I want you to know that we can become more like Christ by understanding that we have not arrived, by not dwelling on past experiences, and by striving forward for the sake of His name. When the Endurance sank in the ice, Shackleton knew that they needed to press on if they were going to survive. He decided to break camp and to pull the lifeboats and their supplies on sleds, some of which were pulled by men and others by dog sleds. After a couple of arduous miles, he knew that it was futile to go further. They needed to wait for the ice to break up and then make it to the open sea. Paul states to us in verse 13 of Philippians 3, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Now, Paul understands in this passage that he has not arrived, that he has not gained his future state. Now, what is our future state? In 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, the Bible reads, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." The hymn writer Charles Gabriel penned these words, "When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me." One day, by His grace, we'll look at His face, but at the present time, we must look at our existing situation. As Christians, we can look forward to heaven, but we know that we live in the here and now. Have you taken the opportunity to look at where you presently are in your own spiritual journey? Our life is full of non-physical hazards that we must be aware of. Some of these perils can be avoided. Others will need to be dealt with head on. So what is our present situation? As Christians, we have not been promised a life of ease. Sometimes life gets hard. Life certainly was hard on Shackleton and his crew. After more than 4 months of mind-numbing boredom as they watched their ship being crushed in the ice, hoping that maybe the ice would break up and they'd be able to sail the Endurance out of that ice, they saw it sink, and suddenly they were pitched into an intense battle for survival that brought them to the limit of human capabilities. Eventually, when the ice began shattering beneath them, the men took to their three small lifeboats. Now, when a spiritual challenge comes at you head on, are you prepared? Inactivity on your part to prepare for such a situation can prove costly. On the Antarctic expedition, Shackleton had prepared himself for tragedy, turmoil, and trouble. And this proved to be the difference maker for himself and his men. How you prepare for those things in your spiritual life can also make a difference for yourself and those around you. Paul understood this. In 2 Timothy 1:9, he states, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace." He goes on to state in that passage that this knowledge of salvation sustains him even in the midst of suffering, the suffering of being imprisoned. In chapter 2, he writes that as a soldier, we need to endure, strive, labor, study, and to do all this with meekness. It was said of Ernest Shackleton that he was a Viking with a mother's heart. As Christians, we too should have the heart of a lion with the compassion of a father and mother. By looking at our present situation and our future state, we've seen tonight that we can become more like Christ by understanding that we have not arrived. Now let's see that we can become more like Christ by not dwelling on past experiences. Look at Philippians 3:13. In that verse, Paul says, "Forgetting those things which are behind." Now, what might those things be? They could be personal failures. Now, Shackleton and his crew, they had seen firsthand what it was like to fail in an expedition. In an earlier expedition, death had been nearer to them than the awaiting ship that would take them home. Many were the tales of exploration that ended in tragedy. Robert Falcon Scott's entire party died on the return journey from the South Pole just 2 years before. Explorers suffered horrible deaths from accidents, starvation, exposure. They teetered on the brink of insanity. They were driven to suicide and they were push to mutiny, murder, and sometimes even cannibalism. If Shackleton was going to keep his men alive, he had to forget about those past failures, and he had to keep pressing on. According to Napoleon, a leader is a dealer in hope. The Apostle Paul understands this, and he did not allow himself to dwell on his past failures, which were abundant. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, he writes, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting." Because each one of us are human, we're all sinners. If we have trusted Christ as our personal Savior, we have been given that same mercy. We're going to make mistakes. And when we do, we need not to dwell on those mistakes or have a pity party over our sin. God wants us to seek forgiveness and then to press on. Also, not only sometimes we look back at our past failure, sometimes we look at our personal performance. Margot Morrell wrote, "Like all great pathfinders, Shackleton studied the past while he dreamed of the future. He extracted what was valuable in earlier expeditions that he could use, identified problems that he could solve, and pushed himself to innovate." Dr. Palinkas has said, "What impressed me about Shackleton was his flexibility, his willingness to admit defeat when necessary, and to perform superhuman feats when necessary. I think flexibility or adaptability, more than any other single trait, is essential to living in extreme and isolated environments." Now, you may be sitting here tonight and you've just gone through some amazing spiritual blessing, or you have not really suffered any spiritual defeat, and you think, you know what, I'm all set. Maybe you think that being a status quo Christian is okay. Paul declares to us the fact that we have not arrived, that we cannot stand pat on our past personal performance. In Romans 12:3, he says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." It's impossible to move forward if you are clinging to the past. Being a Christian witness requires as much passion and energy as you had when you were first saved. First, we saw that we can become more like Christ by understanding that we have not arrived. Secondly, we've seen that we need to be careful not to be overburdened or satisfied by past experiences. Now I want you to know that we can become more like Christ by striving forward for the sake of His name. Morrell wrote, "Shackleton always weighed the cost of the goal against the expense of reaching it. He preferred to replace a failed goal with an attempt at another, more ambitious one." Now, he knew their opportunity to cross the Antarctic was over as soon as the Endurance was crushed and sank to the bottom of the sea. His new plan was to get himself and his men to safety. For his men's sake, his goals changed. When we trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, our goals changed. No longer are we living for ourselves, but we're living for God and we're living for others. All men and women around us, they have a soul that's going to live somewhere forever. That's going to require effort on your part to give the gospel to those around you, and effort on the part of others to go into far-reached places and give the gospel to those who have never heard. Striving is going to require diligence. In 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Morrell wrote, "Shackleton tried to weed out prima donnas. When he was selecting his crew before they went to the Antarctic, he said, they tried to weed out prima donnas who wanted the glamour of expedition celebrity without doing all the work involved. He needed men who worked as hard as he did, jacks of all trades without heirs. He didn't care what position the man held in society." In Philippians chapter 2, Paul speaks of this very thing. He says in verse 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the thing of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." Little will be done for Christ that is done in a maverick way. Even the Lone Ranger had his Tonto. things done for personal advancement or for the sake of pride are hollow, and they're just for cardboard Christians. In order to be instant in season and out of season, we're going to have to work at being sharp and to expect the unexpected. Striving will require capability. To maintain the right walk with the Lord, we have to stay mentally and spiritually with it. The hardest time to make a decision is when you are physically and mentally drained. This is the time where Satan can have his heyday. What you have done to stay spiritually fit ahead of time will often be the difference maker of how you respond to the situation. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." In the book Leading at the Edge, the author wrote, "Smart people can completely lose sight of their physical limits. One cause is a psychological phenomenon known in mountaineering as summit fever. The individual becomes so fixated on reaching the summit that all else fades from consciousness. It's a human tendency to be so concerned about the goal that all else fades into oblivion." Have you ever heard the statement, "That person is so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good"? We must remain diligent in our earthly calling. Putting out all the stops in our service for the King will compel us not to meditate on past events or suppose that we have already arrived at our destination. Now, after the ice started to break up and Shackleton and his crew made their way to the lifeboats and had to fight the sea nearly a week before making their way to land, most of the crew spent the last months of their ordeal huddled under two of the lifeboats on Elephant Island. In the end, Shackleton takes five of his men. He leaves the other 23 on the island, and they sail over 800 miles in a lifeboat over the most tumultuous sea the world has to offer. They went to the island of South Georgia in the remote South Atlantic. And when by some miracle they made their destination, they found that they had to cross impassable, literally, mountains to get to where the whaling boats were, where men could come and save these men. And they did it. They crossed over those mountains, and literally they had been at sea for months upon months. So they had been burning seal fat to have fuel for their fire and to cook that seal meat and such. Their faces were all black, covered in that grease and such. Their hair was really long. They had beards, and they're walking out of the mountains that no men could pass through. And they come up, and these whalers are aghast at what they see. And Shackleton says, "I'd like to see the man in charge here." And they say, "Okay." And they walk over with these men in tattered clothing, and the man comes, and he introduces himself, and he says, "I'm Ernest Shackleton." And the man jaw dropped because they thought Shackleton and his crew were dead. And Shackleton, he got cleaned up, he ate a meal, and he said, "When can I get the next ship out? I need to go back, and I need to get those men." And so he got in the ship and he went back. He had to take three times to finally get a ship that could get close enough to Elephant Island, and he was able to save each one of those men that had been left there. But that's not the end of the story. When he got back from there, there had been a party called the Ross Party that were laying supplies for them through Antarctica on the other side. And those men had been stranded because their boat had been pulled from its mooring. And so here they were waiting, thinking that they may die. Three of the men had died waiting. Two of them had left to go for help, and they were never seen again. But one day, a boat showed up, and the Ross Party looks up, and the boat comes in, and they go. They make their way into the main boat, and who was it there to greet them but Shackleton himself, the man that they thought they were laying supplies to. Shackleton realized the importance of the goal. He had changed it, and he said, "My men are the most important thing." And they all were able to reach home safely, his crew, to England. Now, certainly, when we reach heaven, we're not going to long for our life here. This world is preparing us for a better place. At some point, we're going to have to face some pretty stiff trials. As Thomas Pynchon once said, "You wait, everyone has an Antarctic." Jesus said that each one of us has a cross that we're going to bear. There are going to be times in our life where we're going to face extreme circumstances. Are you preparing? Are you ready for those trials? Are you diligent in your walk with the Lord? 2 Peter 1, verse 5 through 9, Peter tells us, that it's going to require diligence. And if we fail to put forth the effort, he says in verse 9 that we are blind and we have forgotten that we were purged from our old sins. Now, do people around you on a daily basis even know you're a Christian? Are you sharing the gospel on a regular basis, or are there times when you just want to fit in with the world and quit your Christian witness? Sir Ernest Shackleton once said to a friend, "Some people say it's wrong to regard life as a game. I don't think so. Life to me means the greatest of all games. The danger lies in treating it as a trivial game, a game to be taken lightly, and a game in which the rules don't matter much. The rules matter a great deal." Rules do matter. There is a way for a Christian to live, and that's the Apostle Paul's way. If you look down in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, Paul says, "Brethren, be followers together of me." Paul has accomplished the task, and he's given us the example. He has his wish, and today he's in heaven with his Savior. It's up to us right now to press forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have of serving you. We thank you that you have saved us and you have provided for us a home in heaven. But Father, we know that we can't dwell on that, but we live in the here and now. Father, I pray that you would help us to think about our task right now that you have given to us. Help us not to think of past failures or past things that we've done well, but help us to press on. Help us as we realize that you have created us to glorify you and enjoy you forever. Father, I pray that we would strive to bring forth your name to all nations, to all tribes, and to all tongues. And we'll thank you for what is accomplished in your name. We pray this in Jesus' name.